Hey friends, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your host, Katie, and this is episode 158, where I'm going to share my personal experience with going to therapy for the very first time. I hope to give you some insight as to what triggered me to go, how did I actually find somebody, what the process was like, and what I learned, and why I'm now a firm believer, more so than ever, that everyone should go to therapy. So whether you've never been to therapy before, you've really just never considered it, or maybe you've gone before and it just didn't feel like it was beneficial, you didn't feel like it was a good match, I hope that really what today does is open up your eyes and open up that conversation about destigmatizing therapy and mental health. Because as you know, listening to Fit Friends Happy Hour, our goal is to redefine the word fit, right? The word fitness. It's not just about being physically fit on the outside. It's about what does our mental, emotional, spiritual health look like, right? Because in order to really live our best life, we've got to work on all these different buckets of wellness. If you follow me on Instagram, Fit Friends Happy Hour, or on my personal handle, KT Hake, I asked you guys what questions you had, and you had awesome feedback, awesome questions. So I really hope you get a lot out of today's episode because I'm hype. I am pumped up about therapy, and I want everyone to know it. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Instead of reading one of our reviews this week, I wanted to give a special shout out to former co-host and bestie Lauren Brighton. Today, at the time of this recording, Friday, July 17th, Lauren's own podcast has gone live. So she just launched her podcast called The Podcast Manager Show. And those of you who have been with Fit Friends Happy Hour since the beginning, we are going on 4 years, which is freaking insane. Lauren did all the back end. She is the freaking brains behind this podcast. She's the beauty as well, but she is the brains and the beauty behind this whole project. And I'm so freaking proud of her that I had to give her a shout out. And what she does now is she has actually built her own business teaching others how to manage podcasts. Like, there's so much behind the scenes that people don't even understand. And she has built a freaking career out of it while raising 3 beautiful babies and also being a great friend. So let's give her some love. Head on over to her show, The Podcast Manager Show. Give her a 5-star review. Listen to her story. I think it's just so fun. Although it's sad and it's bittersweet for me because now I'm like, all right, I guess we actually have to change the description. I guess this officially is my podcast now, but Fit Friends Happy Hour will always have a slice of their heart with Lauren. But now I'm like, oh, you have your own show. So this is like official. It's bittersweet, but I'm so proud of her, so excited, and couldn't want to back her up more than anything. So give her some love. Let her know that Fit Friends Happy Hour, we always have her back, regardless of whether you're in this entrepreneurial space with us or you just want to hear an insight. I mean, who knows? Maybe this could be your next calling. Maybe your side hustle could be doing what Lauren does. And it's awesome. She's awesome. So freaking proud. Now let's talk therapy. Oh my gosh, you guys, I have so much to say. I actually started to record this episode a few days ago and I just couldn't. Like, I had so much going on in my brain that I recorded half of it and I had to go sit down and gather my thoughts and come back. And I reached out to many of you on Instagram to just ask what questions do you have? And so many of you were interested in just hearing my experience. So I want to start by sharing what actually triggered me to go. If you listened to not last week's episode, but the week before that, I talked about this inner mean girl. And I was having a conversation with a few of my other best friends, one of them who is involved in another wedding and she's planning a wedding. And I found myself feeling really jealous and envious and sad for myself and just like these yuck feelings that did not feel like me. It felt gross. I didn't like the way I was feeling. And I just got to a point at that moment that was a really pivotal moment for me to just go, ew, what am I doing? First of all, I need to practice what I preach. I preach therapy so much. I tell all my clients to go to therapy. I talk about therapy on this podcast. I talk about it on social media. I follow therapy, but I've never been to therapy. And I thought, oh my gosh, this has got to change because I don't like how I'm feeling, right? And that's really the first step. The first step is recognizing how we're feeling, right? And understanding that it's okay to not feel okay. I am an overachiever. I like to think that I can solve every problem. I can figure out on my own. Just give me space and I can do it. And I had to take a step back and go, you don't have to be the expert. Like, we go to the dentist for our teeth, we go to the eye doctor for our eyes. I need to go to somebody for my brain. I can't tell you how many times in the past I have written down scheduled therapy session, research therapy, call my insurance, but it just kept getting pushed down to the bottom of the list. And so as I was exploring these feelings, I thought, okay, this is how I'm feeling. What are some other ways that I can take care of myself during this time? Last year, I made the investment of getting regular monthly massages. I signed up for a year contract at a local massage place, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made because not only it sounds glamorous, it sounds like a luxury. Oh, poor you, you get massages. But for me, it was more than just a massage. It was me saying, okay, I am making a commitment to my own health, to my mental health, to show up once a month, every single month for an hour, put my phone away, let my mind just clear out. And it was really just an hour of quiet, but also physical release because I was having a lot of tension in my upper back, my low back. I was actually having a lot of glute or piriformis pain from running because I was go, go, go. And I didn't know how to slow down and I didn't know how to just relax. And it's hard for me. It's hard for me to slow down, but I'm smarter now. I know that I need to slow down in order to speed up. And so getting those massages was one of the best things I've ever done, not just for my headspace, but for my physical health. I no longer have any pain in my glutes, and I can definitely tell when I'm going too long without that massage. But it's a layer of accountability, right? It keeps me on track going each month. And so I thought, okay, if that made such a huge difference in how I feel physically, but also mentally, what are these other forms of self-care that I can do? What else can I do? These barriers that I can put into place that will help me stay accountable to me. I also recognized I was talking a lot about myself and quote unquote venting to actually to Lauren quite a bit and to other people around me. I felt like I was having these same conversations about I'm upset about this or I'm sad about this or I'm frustrated, right? And like on loop, it was on repeat in my head and I could not get out of my own head. And I was actually losing sleep over feeling how I was feeling. And I finally took a step back and recognized that it is not my friend's job. It is not my husband's job. It is not my sister's job. All these awesome people in my support circle, it's not their job to take care of me. I don't know about you, but probably once a week, I have to have a conversation with myself and say, Katie, you're not in college anymore. You are freaking 28 years old. You are a grown ass woman and you have Google. You can pretty much solve any problem starting with Google. Like, you have been too blessed. You have too many resources to make excuses anymore. And I realized that it is time for me to take ownership of how I'm feeling. I can't rely on other people. Yes, they're great support to have, but it's not their job. And I've got to take ownership for me. At the time of this recording, we are still knee deep in this pandemic. And that one of the silver linings of that is that many, many health professionals have turned to telehealth, which essentially is a HIPAA compliant form of video chats and, you know, all your information, right? It's different than FaceTime, but it's a secure way of seeking professional help for your health. It's so much more accessible. And when you're hopping on a video, it is so unbelievably easy to carve out an hour, right? If I would have tried to do this 6 months ago, I would have gotten all in my head, okay, what part of town do I go to? Do I find someone downtown? Do I go up north, you know, when I'm at the gym that way? Okay, I have to go there. I have to sit there. And it sounds so stupid, but an hour in my head then turned into 2 hours, then turned into like this big overwhelming task that I was never going to do. But with telehealth, you literally turn on your computer. You can do it over the lunch hour. You can squeeze it in between a client. Like, there's no excuses. The first question that many of you asked was, how do I even start? How do I find someone? First of all, Google is amazing, but I know even Google can feel overwhelming. So my journey with finding a therapist was I actually was listening to podcasts. I have Googled people before, but there's so many that I just would get overwhelmed. And maybe that's why it would always go to the bottom of my to-do list, because I would start to do it. I would start to take action steps and then I got overwhelmed and I said, I'll do it later. So I actually started looking at an app called Talkspace, and they actually connect you with a chat box human or something that asks you questions about what it is that you're looking for. And they have different plans where you can have someone where you just text back and forth. You can do video chats once a month, once a week. Like, they have different plans that you can look at. And as I was digging through that, I thought, oh, that just felt, it was a little more expensive than I wanted to invest right now. And I didn't feel that I needed that frequent of communication. I just wanted someone to have as a resource maybe once a month, maybe more frequently if I needed it. I don't really know. That's something I was figuring out. And so I was talking to Lauren about this, and Lauren actually suggested another website called OpenPath. Now, what's really neat about OpenPath is you pay a one-time fee of, I believe it's $60, and then you have access to a number of therapists with amazing backgrounds, amazing credentials, and they have a sliding scale. So OpenPath is designed for people who either have a really high deductible for their insurance, or they can't afford, maybe they don't have insurance, but they really know that mental health is important. And so you pay for those sessions anywhere between $30 to $60. So I started there looking for people, and I found a lot of therapists that I actually felt that I could connect with. And I felt that this sounds so woo-woo, but you can tell, right? Like, you can tell when you're looking at someone's website, or you're reading their bio, or you see a picture. Like, you can tell, okay, their vibes, I can feel that their vibes would match mine. So I reached out to a couple via OpenPath. And then as I figured out what OpenPath's process was like, I thought, oh, I probably don't need the sliding scale, and I would hate to use up a resource for somebody else, because I recognize the importance of mental health. And if I can, I want to pay a therapist, especially what they're worth, because I think they're so valuable in the services that they give. So I decided to not go through OpenPath, but through OpenPath, I found these other providers. I emailed a couple, and what I looked for a couple different things. So number one, I looked for somebody who's, like I said, vibe matches mine, their language that they used, how they describe themselves and what they do. I was looking for somebody who had the same belief system maybe that I had. So I stumbled upon some therapists that were a little more Christian based, which I thought was really neat. How cool would that be to actually talk about, you know, your faith with somebody who has that spiritual lens as well? I saw some therapists who were trained in health at every size, which was important to me, because then I could discuss, you know, my experience with counseling clients and my own personal experiences with body image and, you know, my history with dieting. I also looked at therapists that were LGBTQ accepting, because I know, okay, well, if that's their beliefs, then they're probably a little more open-minded, a little more liberal. But I also looked for someone who specialized working with adults. So many of the therapists out there, they don't just have one area. They maybe have multiple areas that they're trained in. So if you can kind of narrow down some key things that are important to you, it's like dating, you guys. It's like online dating. I have never done online dating, but I imagine this is what it's like, is that you've got to kind of pick and choose what's important to you, what qualities, and recognize that you may not find the perfect match right away, and that's okay. So I figured I just have to start. And if I get in there and I have a session and it doesn't feel like a good match, well, it's just like personal training. It's just like working with a dietitian. I can have one session and go, okay, not for me. This is what I learned. I'm going to try again. Because just because something's hard and you feel like you get stuck doesn't mean you should stop. If you know that the end goal is good, you got to just keep pushing forward and trust that with each experience, you're going to learn something that'll get you closer to what it is that you're looking for. Another thing to consider is the different types of therapy. So I am no expert. One of my goals actually is to bring on a therapist who can talk more to these different types of therapy. But from my research, there's different types such as talk therapy, such as EMDR, which is where they actually have you recall a traumatic event and they look at your eye. It's called eye movement desensitization. I can't say that right. Desensitization. You know what I mean? Google. And reprocessing. There's also cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a style of, you know, therapy that I actually use with my clients, right? Kind of talking through your belief system. So there's lots of different areas that you can look at. So don't get too hung up on the specifics. Just pick out the key things that you feel like are important to you. Start Googling, start sending emails. And how I pick someone, honestly, I sent maybe 6 or 7 emails. I replied to the first two that responded back to me and had a time to fit mine. I know that sounds so silly, but I was like, okay, just take action, right? Because when we just start taking action, then things actually happen because I know myself. I know it's easy for me to get stuck in my rabbit hole of overthinking and not actually doing. What was my first session like? So we emailed back and forth, scheduled a time, and she sent me a link called Doxy. Doxy was the app that they used, and it was super easy. Legitimately went upstairs in my bedroom for the therapy call because Joey was in our office and we live in a 2-bedroom apartment. So I went to the other room. He was down here and it was so laid back. I mean, I know some people prefer to be actually in the office, but I guess I have nothing to compare it to, but I found it really relaxing to just be in my own room, right? And I personally do a lot of video calls with my own clients, with patients at the hospital. So video chatting itself didn't feel that weird to me. So if that's something, that is something to definitely consider, being behind a screen, but just try to relax and imagine it just like you're in person, right? Because remember, that's their job. They do this all day. And so it's only awkward for you if you make it awkward. Mostly what we did is she just asked me some general questions, what I was going through, what, you know, led me to actually book a session. And to be honest, it was mostly me talking the whole time, which I think is a good thing, right? Because she wasn't necessarily giving me unsolicited advice. I just kind of talked through some of my problems out loud, right? And if you think about how helpful it can be to talk to friends, to talk to family. But have you ever had that moment where you're talking to friends and family and you want to keep talking, but then they keep interjecting with like their advice and what you should do and what happened to them? And you're like, no, just let me finish talking. And that is what therapy was like, at least for me, was just talking out loud, processing a lot of things out loud. You know, she would come back and kind of ask me more to dig deeper about certain things. But I feel like I talked a lot of surface and I'm looking forward to future sessions where maybe going a little bit deeper, because some of the things that I personally want to focus on are some of my own limiting beliefs and why I feel the certain way I feel about business, about relationships, right? Like we all have our own stuff to work through. And so it felt surfacey, but it also was really, really beneficial. So what I learned in just one session was that, and this was an hour, like it's amazing how much you can cover in an hour, but at the same time, how fast it goes. So if you find yourself getting really anxious, you know, LOL, the irony about being anxious to go talk to, like, to go to therapy, right? So funny, but it's common. But remember, they do this all day. And whatever you are going to tell them is not going to surprise them. Like they have heard the most traumatic of the traumatic, like, and they don't judge. It's a safe space. That is their job. And so when you find yourself getting anxious or nervous about it, remember, that's your job. They're going to hear it. It's no big deal. So what I learned was that I really need to establish better boundaries in all areas of my life. You know me, I juggle way too many things. It's a constant learning process, but I need boundaries. For example, I don't work on this day, so I need to not check my email on that day, or I need to tell people what I need. You know, I need you to do this or not do this. Another thing that was really helpful was thinking out loud, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? And she called this, you know, cognitive distortions. Basically, when we elaborate this giant idea in our head of what's actually going to happen. And then when we verbalize it out loud, it's like, okay, but that's not going to happen. And you sound ridiculous, but we create this big dramatic imagery in our head that holds us back because we get so hung up on this fake, distorted, out of proportion belief. Another thing I learned that really helped me just process was learning that, okay, these are the boundaries that I need to set, but I also need to prioritize these boundaries and these different forms of self-care. So really sitting down and brainstorming, what can I do that will hold myself accountable to taking care of myself? So for example, when I recognize myself feeling the way I'm feeling, try to pinpoint, was there something that triggered it? Was there something that happened that is making me feel this way? And let's say it's a friend or, you know, a different relationship dynamic in my life. What can I do to prevent that conversation or prevent that or change the conversation? Another example we talked about was, oh my goodness, when I went down a Real Housewives of New Jersey rabbit hole, I found myself like way deep in comparison, which sounds so stupid, but oh my gosh, look at their house. Look what they have. Look what I don't. And I didn't like the way it made me feel. I know when I'm watching too much reality TV or binging on Netflix and like Ozark and all these like people getting murdered and true crime, like that is not good for me because it causes me a little stress, causes me a little anxiety, but recognizing that, oh, that's because I was watching all this and I need to limit that to X amount of times, or I need to turn off social media at 8 o'clock every night, and really sticking to your boundaries and really sticking to this is why I created it. This is what it does for me, because it's one thing like I'm doing today to say, go to therapy. But if I'm not actually implementing, what good does it do? My personal goal is to go to therapy once a month. But it's really helpful to just know now that I've established care with somebody that I can go as often as I need. And she has options to where I can see her for 30 minutes or 45 minutes and I don't need the full hour. And it's just helpful to know that there is somebody else in your corner who is unbiased, who will listen, who will offer advice if you need, but it's just there. And it's amazing how I felt, yes, a little bit emotionally exhausted after, but at the same time, it was a weight lifted off my chest. And then I felt like I could go into conversations later in the day with other friends and family. And I didn't have like that extra baggage and extra brain space filled up with what I was dealing with. It was like I was able to talk about it, get it off my chest and move on, and therefore be able to be more present in these different situations and events later on that day. I love some of the questions you guys asked. Someone mentioned that one of the benefits of going to therapy for them was they could recognize a depressive episode and work with it before it gets out of control. So you guys asked me, you know, what have you found so helpful? And I really can't attest to too much. I feel like the first session was awesome, but I'm also going in with a realistic expectation that there's probably going to be sessions that don't feel as impactful, or, you know, it's maybe really easy to cancel because I will think, oh, I don't really have anything going on. But I'm saying it here, I'm saying it out loud, that I'm going to go once a month, whether I feel like it or not, because that is the point of preventative care and self-care, is recognizing that it's not a luxury and you don't have to be in a bad space to seek help, right? Like, you don't go to the dentist only when you have a cavity. You go twice a year to prevent cavities, right? You go to therapy X number of times to prevent getting in a negative down spiral, right? It's much easier to work from that space versus digging yourself out of this emotional hole. So I explain that way, the same thing with my clients who I work with nutrition, right? We meet weekly for the first 3 months. And I always tell them, like, it's okay to not have much to talk about, right? Like, we can celebrate wins. We can talk about other things. You don't have to, like, that's actually more important, because then you show up with a positive headspace and you go, oh, wow, these are all the things that I have accomplished and that are going really well. And that continues to propel you forward. I really hope you guys found today's episode helpful and realized that therapy is not just lying on a couch and talking about your childhood trauma and problems. It really can be whatever you want it to be. And of course, the more vulnerable you are, the more you're going to learn about yourself, the more you're going to learn about why you are the way you are, why you believe the things you believe. But you don't have to start that right away, right? It's important. You can take time. You can try different therapists, but don't give up, because I strongly believe that just like anything, if you're doing it for the right reasons, it's going to be worth it in the end. I would love for you to join us over on the Facebook page and our Facebook group, Fit Friends. If you search Fit Friends Tribe, join Fit Friends. You have to answer a couple questions, so I know you're not a robot, but I would love to hear if you've ever been to therapy, what your experience was like, and let's talk mental health. Let's open up these conversations. Let's lean into the discomfort, because together we can grow, we can be stronger, and we can find our fears.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.